I'm Reed Hudson, and welcome to Thundercast. This week on Thundercast, I will be talking with Mr. Ted Bechtold and the path he took to become Eastern Green Superintendent. Mr. Bechtold, thank you for joining me today on Thundercast. What is your position at Eastern Green Schools?
I'm the superintendent of schools. Previously, I taught English here for many years.
Can you tell me your path of how you got to Eastern Green?
Well, it's an interesting path. I started out with a business degree and worked in banking for 10 years. Then I was a stay-at-home dad for almost seven. And at the end of that, I decided I wanted to become a teacher. So when we moved to Bloomington, Indiana, I went through a program called a community of teachers at IU. And while there, I got to know Eastern Green and the surrounding area, applied for a job here, and was hired.
Where did you live before moving to Bloomington?
We were in Bonn, Germany. My wife was a retired colonel in the Air Force, and her last overseas assignment was in Bonn, Germany.
What made you decide to move back to the United States?
Well, we're United States citizens. That's the first part. My wife and I love to travel, and we were overseas twice. We lived in Innsbruck, Austria for two years, and we lived in Bonn, Germany for three. We came back to IU because her last assignment before she retired was she was the Commandant of Cadets at Indiana University. And while doing that, I went through the Community of Teachers program.
What is your education and how has it prepared you for your career as superintendent?
Well, I mentioned earlier, my first degree was in business. I got a business administration degree from Kansas State University. Used that for a number of years. I went back to IU through the Community of Teachers program and received my teacher's license through that program. Wound up getting a master's degree from Indiana University in secondary English. And then also went through the educational specialist program at Indiana State here about 2.5 years ago. A lot of education, a lot more education than I dreamed I would ever be involved with, but all of it has contributed towards preparing me to become the superintendent. I really fall back on my business background quite a bit, honestly. And then the education part, having been in the classroom for as many years as I was, that combined with the work I did both at Indiana University and at Indiana State have helped me, reach a point where I feel pretty confident most days.
What originally made you want to become a banker?
Well, back in high school, they always give you these interest surveys. You probably have taken one or may take one on your own, but they give you these interest surveys, and they said I should be an attorney or work in business. And I didn't really want to go to law school at that point in my life just because I didn't know if I wanted to spend 6 years in college. So I went to K-State and got a business degree, and that's where I wound up working in commercial and consumer finance.
Which of your teachers influenced you and how?
You know, it's funny. You talk about teachers that you remember. The teachers I remember the most were not high school teachers. I had a fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Prechet, in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, Orange Park, actually. She refused to call me Ted. That's not my given name. My given name is Arthur. So she called me Arthur for the entire year. And I hated it at the time, but looking back on it, I understand why she did that. She was very influential in me. She was also a real taskmaster. She pushed me hard, and that was good. She made me work, which I needed. I was a lazy kid, and she made me work. The other teacher that really, I think, made an impact on me was my eighth grade English teacher. Her name was Ruth Schramm. She died a few years ago now. But Mrs. Schramm refused to let me fail. She just refused. She says, you're going to do this. You're very capable. You're going to take care of all this. You're going to work and do all those things I'm asking you to do. She even got me to participate in the county spelling bee, something I won as an eighth grader, which was pretty interesting. But she again, was a lady that expected the most out of me, and I responded. Looking back, she was very important to me in that regard.
Besides your teachers, who have been your role models in life?
My parents were a huge influence on me, as were my in-laws, my wife's parents. My parents, obviously, they were kids when I was born. They were very, very young when I was born, but they persevered and were married over 50 years. Both have now passed away, and I miss them both every day. my in-laws took me in as their own from the first time I met them, and they mean a great deal to me. They both have now passed as well, they were both my parents and my wife's parents were huge role models in how to treat people and also how to respect others, for that I'm deeply thankful.
What do you find most rewarding about your career as an educator and in general?
Okay, well, in general, I think my career path has been an interesting road, to say the least. As far as education is concerned, one of the things that has appealed to me at Eastern Green is just the sense of community that we have here. I really enjoy being part of this small school and this very interesting community that has done wonderful things for me. You ask about, you know, when we decided to move back to the United States. I've moved 17 times in my life. I've been 18 years at Eastern Green. If somebody asked me what my hometown would be, it would be Eastern Green Schools, because it's the longest I've lived anywhere in my entire life.
Why Eastern Green? What makes it so special?
I think the special part of Eastern Green is twofold. I think the people are genuinely honest, hardworking. I find the people are supportive of me, have been very supportive of me over the years that I've been here. I think the community as a whole really appreciates the role that the school plays in the community. I mean, we really don't have a town out here. We don't. And I think the fact that the school is kind of the center of the community does a lot towards making the school an important part of this community.
Is there ever a time you wish you would have taken a job at a bigger school in the area, say Bloomington North or Bloomington South?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I've been offered jobs in Bloomington three times. One time I came real close to accepting. Both our sons went to Bloomington South, and they enjoyed their time there. They got a good quality education, which has helped them a great deal. I was offered jobs at Bloomington North a couple of occasions. Almost took it once, and just couldn't see myself not being here. The relationships I've built, you know, now I've got former students who are bringing their children here, which is amazing. I know we have some teachers who've taught here whose grandchildren are now in our school. That's a kind of relationship building that I don't think can occur as easily in a big school. I think a small school like this allows relationships to be front and center in what we do. I think relationships are the most important part of being a human being. I mean, some people really enjoy being hermits and living on their own, but some of us, most of us, I think, find that we want interaction with other people and interaction with hopefully people that share some of our common values. And I think that happens here a lot.
How do you exercise your strengths as superintendent, and what have been your greatest challenges?
Probably the greatest challenge I face as superintendent here is that I wear many hats. We're a school of about, I would like to say 1,200, will probably be something less than that this year, but 1,200 kids. I find trying to be the financial overseer, trying to be the educational leader, trying to be a strong advocate for students in all areas, trying to protect students, trying to feed students, trying to make sure they're safe at all times. There's a lot of hats I wear there. Those challenges are, I would be dishonest to say, those challenges are daunting at times. I really have felt a deep sense at times of just being overwhelmed by some of the circumstances that our students find themselves in, and I want to do everything I can to help them. As far as my strengths are concerned, I think I'm a pretty good listener. I like to treat people as fairly as I possibly can. I'm not perfect. I certainly have made my share of mistakes over the last three plus years as superintendent, but I try to do the best I can every day. I try to be accessible to people. I try to listen to what their concerns are and address them if I can. Sometimes I can't, and sometimes, you know, people do get frustrated that I can't fix everything. But I do try to do my best, and I hope people understand that sometimes I just can't do a whole lot in some situations.
Where do you hope your career will take you in the future?
Well, my future career goals. I want to stay at Eastern Green until I'm done working. I'm 58 years old now. I will work as long as there's still work to be done. Everyone knows our high school is needs to be repaired. I moved into this high school in 2008, taught in it for a number of years. I like this school very much. I don't like what's happened to the exterior of it. I don't like what's happened to the windows, and I want to fix that. My short-term goal is to fix our building. My long-term goal is to work at Eastern Green the rest of my working career.
What exactly has happened to the building?
Well, if you look at the building, it's pretty obvious we have had some problems with water. In our building, we've had some issues, and we were in litigation for a long time. We finally settled that litigation here recently, and we've had problems with water intrusion. Water has come in around windows, has led to some cracking in the exterior. We've also had some settlement issues. The building has settled in places because compaction was not done properly. We have to fix those things, and we will fix those things.
What do you feel are your achievements in life?
Achievements in life. It's kind of funny, but I think graduating from Kansas State University finally, I was on the 4.5 year program, and having met my wife my senior year there, I'd known her before, but we started dating my senior year. I think graduating from college, she had a huge part in that. She gave me a good reason. I might still be at K-State had I not met my wife. I don't know yet, but it's kind of funny to think about that. Greatest achievements. Our boys are amazing. I know a lot of parents say that. They're about their children, but we have truly been blessed with two very fine men now. They're 26 and 22 years old. 26 and 23, I guess. They are our greatest accomplishments. I think my wife and I would both agree. My wife and I have also been married 35 years, and I think that's a great thing to be able to celebrate as well.
What about your achievements in your career?
I never dreamed I'd be a superintendent. I never, in my wildest dreams, could have ever envisioned this. I was going to be a senior English teacher for the rest of my career. I was offered an opportunity to do something different. And I decided, why not? I'll give it a shot. And I moved over to the central office, and 7 weeks after I got there, circumstances kind of promoted me to superintendent, at least acting superintendent. And then about 6 months after that, I was named permanent superintendent. I never dreamed I would be a superintendent of schools. I never dreamed I would be in this position. But now that I've gotten here and have really grasped the importance of what I do every day, and how much all my students mean to me, I'm really happy in this position.
If you had the chance to live your life over again, what would you change, if anything at all?
Part of me wants to say I wish I was about 6 or 8 inches taller, and I would have played in the NBA. But that being said, that probably would not have led me down the road I've gone. In hindsight, I've had a really great life to this point. I hope it continues to be great, and the journey I've been on with my wife has been fantastic. I don't think I would change a whole lot. I think it's all turned out okay.
What are some more stories you've had since being superintendent?
I think one of the challenges I face as superintendent, and everybody that works in education has reached this point in their life, we live in a time where education is, and educators as a whole, have not been treated well by the public and the media at times. This has forced teachers to move away from Eastern Green or to leave teaching altogether. And it never fails, it seems to happen, late in summer, right before school's ready to start. So we're faced with trying to find replacements for good teachers in the last minute. We have had some interesting experiences along those lines. Had one teacher leave after one day, which was really a challenge, but we were able to fill that, and very successfully, actually, to fill that position. So those kinds of stories about having to work with on pretty hard deadlines, it's not like we can start school without teachers. I mean, we could, but you know, that might be a little bit of a problem, but we've had to face that. The other part of it is, honestly, you know, students make mistakes, lots of mistakes. They're kids, they make mistakes. And you know, we've had some kids that have made some mistakes that thankfully have not been life-threatening or anything like that, but they've made mistakes. And I don't mind that kids make mistakes. I think that's part of the process. We all have to learn, and sometimes those mistakes are what we learn the most from. But I think part of what I've, stories that have been interesting to me is it usually has not been the kids who have caused me the most headaches. It's been the adults. And I think that's kind of a interesting thing to consider. But, you know, I always thought, oh, if I was a teacher, you know, the biggest headache I'd have would be that one kid that wouldn't cooperate in class, or those, you know, that group of four or five kids that were just giving me a hard time all the time. I dealt with that easily enough. Wasn't a problem. Sometimes adults are more difficult, and I don't know what happens that makes it so, but sometimes those issues have been more difficult for me. So,
well, with that, I'd like to thank you for joining me today on Thundercast.
Well, I appreciate it. It's great visiting with you. I enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Thundercast. We would like to thank Bloom Bank for help making this podcast possible. Also, please tune in for our next episode, coming soon. If you have any suggestions or comments, please email us at thundercast@egreen.k12.in.us. You can subscribe to hear every episode of Thundercast on iTunes and Google Play. All content of this podcast is property of Eastern Green School Corporation and may not be used without express written permission. All rights reserved. Thank you very much for listening.